This weekend, the Buckeyes celebrated their national championship. They had all these people showing up down there.
Yeah.
So much scarlet and gray. I wonder how many scarlet neckties our next guest owns in his wardrobe. Mike DeWine, Attorney General for Ohio, joins us. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I was there with my wife, Fran, and we had two of our grandchildren there, and it was quite a spectacle. See all those people in the horseshoe, and it was just a lot of fun.
We, of course, carried the Buckeyes right here on AM 930 and carried that celebration. It had to be a lot of fun for you.
It was. It doesn't happen too often, national championship. You know, I showed my grandkids up on the stadium wall there. They listed every national championship Ohio State's had, and I can't remember the exact number, but they've done very well. But even for a great institution like Ohio State with a great football tradition, these don't come along every year. Although if you look at that team that's coming back next year, I'm sure it's we're gonna have a fighting chance to do this again.
Yeah, we can hope for the best.
It's good to see the state of Ohio in such positive light with the football. But of course, yesterday, last night on 60 Minutes, they had Cleveland police on there talking about issues going on with locally in Cleveland. Of course, that tied in with what's happening across the country. You have some interesting things to talk about, review of police training. What can we find out about that?
You know, with all the discussion and all the talk, about the use of force by police officers, one of the things that I felt that we in the Attorney General's office could do is to put together an idea. I put together a group of people, not from the Attorney General's office, but from law enforcement across the state, but also not law enforcement, people, community leaders. It's a very diverse group. I think we have 15 people, and I've charged them with looking at how police officers are taught, how they're trained in the state of Ohio. You know, how do we compare with other states? Do we have enough training? Is it the right training? Is it the right emphasis, for example, is there enough emphasis on one of the things they talked about last night in that 60 Minute show was police officers who respond to someone who is, who has mental health problems, to someone who is in crisis. Many times that does turn into a confrontation, and sometimes, it is very tragic. Either the police officer is shot or the person who has the mental health problem. So all of these things I think we need to look at. I'm very pleased with the group. They've met, I think, three times so far. In a couple months, I hope they will get back to us with a report and recommendations. You might say, what does this have to do with the Attorney General's office? Well, the Attorney General, under Ohio law, runs what's called OPATA, the Ohio Police Officers Training Academy. One is in Richfield, one is in London, Ohio, Central Ohio. And what we do there is we do advanced training, continuing training for police officers after they've been sworn in as a police officer. OPATA also regulates, according to Ohio law, regulates the number of hours that it takes to become a police officer, and they set the curriculum. So because this is something that we have some association with in the Attorney General's office, I felt it was important for us to get on this and just see, do for the first time in a number of years a review by people who are outside the system. We constantly review this every year with people who are kind of inside the system. But let's have some independent people take a look at this and see exactly, where we are.
We're talking today with Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine. You've been part of the federal government as a U.S. Senator. Now as Attorney General, there are times when you have to sort of butt heads with the federal government. And in one instance, we're looking at the Affordable Care Act, and Ohio is taking a stand when it comes to taxes and perhaps Medicaid reimbursement. Where do things stand now, and what's going to happen next?
Well, I've written a letter to the Obama administration questioning their taxation under the Affordable Care Act of not just the state of Ohio and its employees, but of every local community, every local unit of government that is basically self-insured. this is it's kind of complicated to explain, but there's a part of the Affordable Care Act, you know, has many, many different components. One of those components is what's called the Transitional Reinsurance Program. And that is funded by a tax on health insurance companies and certain self-insured employers. The law, however, does not give the federal government the power to tax state and local governments who are employers. But the Obama administration has indicated they are doing this, and they're actually collecting this money. So this is millions and millions of dollars, not just to the taxpayers of the state of Ohio, but the taxpayers of many local jurisdictions. So we have questioned that. We're holding a press conference today to talk more about it.
When it comes to money, your office is also involved with consumer complaints. And when it comes to money, we often think about identity theft more and more often. What are some of the top complaints from the past year?
You know, identity theft is you just mentioned, is just a huge problem. I mean, it's such a big problem, and we were receiving so many calls from so many people who had their identity stolen that we decided just to set up a very small unit in our office where people can call into our hotline if they've had their identity stolen, and we will help them. You know, it's already taken place. We can't turn back time, but what we can do, because this is a new experience for so many victims, you know, this has never happened to them before, and then bang, one day their identity has been stolen. What do they do? And so if that happens to any of our listeners, call the Attorney General's office. We will kind of walk you through what you need to do. We'll tell you what you need to do, how you contact the different people that need to be contacted. Or if you want us to do that, we can actually do that for you. Some people want to do it themselves, which is great. Some people want us to do it. But it's such a big problem that we have people who do nothing but this every single day. Just a sad, sad situation. You know, you look at the other complaints we get, we enforce what's called the Consumer Sales Practice Act, and there's certain requirements under Ohio law and the law in many states that prohibit certain, you know, certain misleading practices. So people call us. We get about 30,000 calls a year. Not all of them are certainly a violation of the law. Some of them are just kind of a misunderstanding, what I call a misunderstanding between the merchant and the customer, and we try to kind of broker that and get the two parties together. But in many cases, you know, there are, you've got swindle artists out there, con artists out there, and they're ripping people off. And so one of the things that we do is we warn the public. We put out releases. You've seen our releases that come out when, you know, if we start getting calls about, let's say, right before the, for example, the bowl game Ohio State was in, there were people up online selling the tickets to the Sugar Bowl, and you know, they didn't own the tickets, and they were ripping people off. And so Ohioans were, you know, putting up $1,000 or $800, $500 for these tickets, and they got no tickets. So a lot of what we do is work with you all, work with the media, and try to warn people when we start seeing these scams that are coming up. The other thing that we've done is I have prosecutors who I have put into that unit, and we watch for cases that we think might be criminal cases. And if we investigate them and find that we think they're a criminal case, then we will refer that case back to your local county prosecuting attorney. We'll go back to the sheriff, go back to the chief of police if it's in their jurisdiction, and work with them as they investigate that case.
How many people are in the Attorney General's office that can handle all this and sort of be an advocate for the individual who calls?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what number exactly is in that particular section, but, you know, we do so many different things. You know, we run the state crime lab, for example, and, you know, one is at Richfield, one's at Bowling Green, one is in London. And 90% of the police departments in the state take their evidence to us. We might get called out in the middle of the night for a homicide to do the crime scene. They may bring us, they may have made a drug buy and bring us the drugs to test them to verify what drug it is. We get into all kinds of different things in the Attorney General's office. One thing that's just really has expanded is the use of DNA. We're doing three times as much DNA work today as the day I took office. Everyone sees the shows on TV, but what we tell people, we get school kids who come through taking a tour of our BCI laboratory. We tell them, what you see on TV, that's not real, but what we do is pretty much the same thing right here, and what we do is really real.
Is it equal across all 50 states as far as that type of a thing, or do other states have more advantages than others because of resources?
Well, we think we have a very, very good crime lab. You never have enough resources to do everything you want, but, what we try to do is, take the money that we have in the Attorney General's office and focus it on the most important things. And that's one of the things I did when I became Attorney General. I said, look, it's not right when police departments and victims, have to wait 125 days, which is what it was before I took office, to get DNA evidence tested. We could have a criminal out loose. We don't know who he is, but we've got his unknown DNA. Well, we want to test that very quickly. So we've changed that. We can turn cases around very quickly now. And I think I know it's the right thing to do, because when you have a rapist who is loose, there's nothing more important to the community, nothing more important to society than we get that guy and get him locked up.
Yeah, keep him from committing other crimes, which then bog down the system even more with other people looking over, trying to solve something like that. If people want to find out about those consumer complaints or see what's out there as far as scams, is there a good place for them to kind of look at that just to make sure they can think?
Yeah, go up online, ohioattorneygeneral.gov, and we've got a very active web page. We hope people will find it to be interesting. We have all kinds of things on there, not only about consumer ripoffs, but we also list people who are out of compliance, for example, who are sex offenders, who have not registered. There's just all kinds of interesting information up there. It's not just interesting, but we think it'll be very helpful.
Sounds great. Our Attorney General, Mike DeWine, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate the time.
Good to be with you. Thank you. Appreciate it.